Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Half full guy. Some people who have read my columns over the years might not agree with that, but I am. I see the positive. I'm always trying to be optimistic. I'm the one in our household who's always banging the tambourine or banging the drum. Do you bang a tambourine? Adriana, do you bang a tambourine?
You can. I think you more like shake it, but...
Why are you the tambourine expert? Why did I go to you?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm a little offended.
But you are like the musician of the three of us. Like, Judah, do you play an instrument?
No, Judah plays guitar.
I play the guitar and the drums, yeah.
How come I haven't seen this on Instagram? TikTok.
Adriana is much, much better than I for that content. No one wants to see me playing my guitar in my room, although you've got me on a good idea now. Maybe we should collaborate.
Well, here I'm just thinking, if the two of you are both playing the guitar, that makes me the tambourine person.
You're the cowbell in the sketch.
The triangle.
you're just going hard on that.
I could do that. I'll specialize. Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, is joining us. Covers the University of Oregon, all things recruiting. Covers recruiting on the basketball and football and the landscape at large. Do you play an instrument, Matt Preem?
Goodness, no. I was not musically talented at all.
I don't hear it either. I know the notes. I don't hear the music. Preem, I want to look at the schedule. We looked at Oregon State's schedule with Nick Daschle of the Oregonian earlier.
Yeah.
CBS Sports coming out, picking Oregon State to be 5-7. We put them at 6-6. I don't think we're being homers doing that. I want to know, like, let's go through Oregon's football schedule and let's see if they let's just assume they're playing all the games.
All right.
Let's pick wins and losses, and then we'll go through. I have some more questions about the schedule, but North Dakota State at Autzen Stadium, September 5th. How do you see that game, win or loss?
I see it as a win. It'll be relatively close in the first half, and then Oregon will make the score look a lot wider than it really was. You know, one of those like 56-14 or 17 type games. You know, they'll blow them out, but it'll take about a half to get there.
1-0 Ducks move to week number two. A week later, they host Ohio State. How does that game go?
I see Oregon playing well in this one through the fourth quarter, but just not having enough. It'll be a what if. What if they could have won? What was the opportunity they lost here? They lose that one.
I agree with you there. They're 1-1. They go to week three. They get to host Hawaii, which for media is not as fun as the Ducks playing at Hawaii. But week number three.
You get that in 4 years.
Week number three, Hawaii at home. They win that game, don't they?
Yeah, they blow them out.
2-1 Ducks. Pac-12 season starts. This is September 26th. It's going to be beautiful weather. You and I will probably be in the press box as they play at Colorado in the conference opener. Is that a W?
I think so. Probably a little closer than it needs to be just because it's the first conference game. It's their first road game. New quarterback. I know he'll have a couple games under his belt, but just a lot of firsts for that one. And I understand Colorado is going through a coaching change, but it'll be closer than it probably should be. But Oregon will still have a two-score victory or more.
3-1 Oregon heading to week four. Jimmy Lake, new coach at Washington, comes to Autzen Stadium. Are the Ducks 4-1 after that game?
Yes. They have the better defense, they have the better offense, and they have the better depth overall. With the game being played at Autzen, I'll take Oregon's chances in that one.
How do you think Washington's going to be different with Jimmy Lake?
Oh, I don't know. Like, their defenses will be pretty much the same, but Jonathan Smith leaving them to become the head coach at Oregon State just made their offense just kind of just blah. Like, I wasn't really all that impressed with it, but this past year, the year before that, they were good, but I felt like they just left a lot of, you know, big play potential on the table. Their offense is a wild card.
I also think, too, you see Chris Peterson, I think one of the things he did really well was he was the CEO of that program, and I think so much of his identity and personality was about, you know, the no-nonsense, we're going to be disciplined, we're going to take care of basic things. They did so many little things right. I always worry when a coach comes in, like Mark Helfrich maybe taking over for Chip Kelly, that when a coach comes in, even though we think it's going to be fluid, what's lost there is sort of the glue that held it together.
Right, yeah. I mean, Peterson was a very good coach, no doubt about it, one of the best in the country. And how strong was that culture built? And can the guys that are back and Lake and the rest of the crew change and yet stay, you know, as close to the same in terms of the consistency and, you know, the day in and day out stuff as they were previously? It's going to be a tough question to answer.
4-1 Oregon gets a bye week after the win over Washington at home. They go to Cal on October 17th. What happens at Cal?
This could be for the division, quite honestly. I think Cal is a really good team next season. They actually bring back the most players among any team in the Pac-12 that started last year. New quarterback in Bill Musgrave. You know, there's going to be a lot of Oregon connections in this one. New quarterback coach, I should say, Bill Musgrave. They were pretty good when Garbers was healthy last year. But I saw the CBS story that promoted them as an 11-1 team. I just don't buy that. That would be the best record in like 15 years at Cal. And their offense was improved with Garbers healthy. But half of their wins came last season by a touchdown or less. And that tells me, like, every game was close. And, you know, you could easily flip a couple of those to losses. And we're not talking about an 8-5 team anymore. We're talking about a 7-6 team or a 5-7 team. And are we so high on them now? I think Oregon wins. It'll be tough. But I trust Oregon in this game.
Also, Cal losing their best defensive player, most active defensive player in Evan Weaver. I just don't know, you know, can they be as good as they were? Because I thought that was a real strength of that team. Now, they might, because, you know, I think Wilcox's strength is on that side of the ball, but I need to see it before 11-1 feels like a stretch. I think that's probably somewhere between a 9-win team at Cal. Like, I could buy that. The next
100%.
They got Oregon has 5 wins. They're 5-1 going to week number 7. The next 2 weeks, they are home against Stanford and at Arizona. Which of those 2 games are you more interested in, and how do you see those games going?
I think you and me are going to be same logic here. I think Oregon beat Stanford. I'm more interested in the Arizona game because it's at Arizona on Halloween, and the last time that they went there, they played awful. It was one of the worst games I've covered in Oregon football when they had a winning season because 2016 was just bad all around. But that was just a clunker, and you wonder what happened. And so I'm curious, what's this trip going to be like? And playing in Arizona is never fun for them. It's one of those places where things just always seem to be difficult, whether it's at Arizona State or whether it's at Arizona. And you throw in the Halloween factor, that just screams trap game to me because you got Stanford the week before, and then you got USC after Arizona.
And I have 2 wins in that week, but you're right. And I kind of see that Arizona game for Oregon as the payback game. And I think Mario Cristobal, if we know how he's wired, I think he goes into that Arizona game very focused. I think Oregon wins that game, but I think it's like that is an important game for Oregon. I have him 7-1 after 8 games. Do you agree with that?
I think they lose to Arizona. I think they're gonna have a trap game that they're gonna lose. I originally thought it was maybe going to be Cal. I've pushed that off to Arizona. I just, crazy things happen down there in the state of Arizona for Oregon and put me down as a loss there.
Matt Prehm got him 6-2. I'm at 7-1. They host USC on November 7th. What happens?
I can't get out of my head just how dominant that team was down at the Coliseum this past season, defensively, too. And a lot of those guys are back. And I understand that Oregon's going to have to replace a quarterback and an offensive line. And I understand that USC's bringing a lot of talent back. But I still keep going back to that idea that Oregon just straight up punked them in about the late second quarter on and won that game convincingly. And so I'm taking Oregon with this game being at home. If it was a road game, I would be probably more inclined to lean USC, but I think Oregon wins this one.
You've got 7-2. I've got them 8-1. I think they handle USC. Arizona State at home on November 13th.
Well, Ayuk's gone, so Oregon doesn't have to worry about getting burned on 3rd and 15. So that's one positive. But Jaden Daniels is back. They've got a good defense, or improving defense, I should say. Herm Edwards is I will say this forever. I did not believe he would work at Arizona State, and I'm 180 now. He's got that program going in a positive direction. That being said, I think this is going to have a lot of revenge game factor like you were talking about with Arizona. I think Oregon wins this one and kind of in a convincing way.
Prehm, you have Oregon sitting on two losses with their last two games to go. At Washington State, at Oregon State to finish out the year in the Civil War. Is this a 10-2 season for Oregon?
Yeah. Washington State will be difficult. Late in November, road games in Pullman are awful if you're not the Cougars. But I think Oregon squeaks that one out. And then I think we get a much closer, much fiercer Civil War than we've come accustomed to the last few seasons. I know the Beavers played tough this past year in Eugene, but I wouldn't be shocked. I think Oregon wins, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Beavers play well and if the Beavers even hold a second-half lead at some point in this football game. I think Johnson Smith has them trending in the right direction. I don't necessarily think they're going to beat Oregon, but I think it'll be a competitive game throughout.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is our guest. All right, now I want to throw a wrinkle at you because, you know, even I'm watching the business world, and Starbucks said today they expect 90% of will be reopened in June. This is good. That will help with sort of the public sentiment, I think, and that will, I think, lead us towards, you know, likely that this college football season, I think, could get played in its entirety. But if you have to lop off the non-conference games, hypothetically, is Oregon better off with a playoff push, not playing its non-conference schedule and just facing games?
Yes, 100%. As a fan, I absolutely love, will get on my roof and cheer for Rob Mullins and Mario Cristobal till I can no longer cheer about their scheduling tactics. But from a business standpoint and from a playoff standpoint, it is terrible. And what they are doing for their playoff chances, in my opinion, because playing these juggernaut games are awesome. I love it. This is what college football should be all about, but they're playing with one hand behind their back because everyone else in the country, or a lot of the schools in the country, don't do this. And we see the SEC, we see the ACC playing 8 conference games for non-conference. And when you play a big dog like this, the SEC plays the big dogs. Alabama's playing USC this year. Auburn played Oregon last year. We've seen LSU play some big games. Georgia played Notre Dame this past season. But all of those schools, they understand, okay, we're going to play a big dog. We're going to play another blue chip school in the non-conference. We're then going to play 3 nobodies. And we don't have to worry about losing a conference game. And we just need to go 8-0 in conference play. 8-0 is much more realistic winning 8 games in your conference play than going 9-0. I mean, how many times has Oregon been tripped up by that one extra conference game? And I've said for a while, like I think the Pac-12, they've tried to go their way and it's not worked. And now you need to do what everyone else is doing if you want to be the best. And the SEC is the best and they play 8 conference games. And so I think eliminating the Ohio State game, eliminating the Hawaii game and the North Dakota State game and just playing 9 conference games, you have a better chance winning those 9 games than you do, I think, of playing Ohio State and only losing one more game out of the rest of that your 12-game schedule. You have a better chance of going 9-0 than going 11-1 or 12-0.
I agree with you. I think it's one of those unique cases where what lines up as a sports fan, maybe what lines up with your budget in the athletic department, doesn't necessarily line up with making the playoff. We're talking to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. The quarterback position at Oregon State, it looks like, you know, we're looking at Tristan Jebbia as the quarterback. It's his job to lose. Is it that simple at Oregon?
Probably not. They wouldn't have brought in Anthony Brown if they didn't feel like he had some kind of a chance to win that job. Now, it's Tyler Shuck's to lose, I think. It's not as shut in door maybe as Jebbia is at Oregon State, but Tyler Shuck has competition now. And then I think this is a sign that by taking Anthony Brown, that whoever starts, Oregon's going to run the quarterback because they know, and Mario Cristobal knows, and he's been operating like this for the last year and a half or so from a recruiting standpoint of win now mode. We need to bring in as much talent as possible to win now is the approach that he's doing because there's a window where they could push through and really dominate the Pac-12 and position themselves as the premier program out west for years to come and get into the playoff discussion. I'm not talking winning the whole thing, but just getting into that playoff and making the playoff. And I think they're going to run the quarterback. And with the addition of Anthony Brown now, they have two viable candidates at the quarterback spot. And if one of them goes down, the season doesn't crumble. I mean, if Herbert got hurt last year, who knows what Tyler Shuck could have done, but he was such an unknown and they missed an opportunity in 2018 to get him some reps because of the four game redshirt rule was applied in 2018. He didn't really play much at all. And then I felt like in 2019, there were games where Herbert should not, in my opinion, have been out there in the fourth quarter or late in the fourth quarter. And they should have put Shuck in there and got him even more reps than what they did. Now, we saw some limited stuff against Nevada, against USC, and then in the spring game last year, that makes me think Tyler Shuck's going to be good. Everyone in the program thinks he's going to be good, but Anthony Brown would not have come to Oregon if it wasn't for an opportunity to compete for the job. I think it's going to be a real competition, but I would still say Tyler Shuck wins the job.
Now, in the state of Oregon, you got the Twilight movies, you got the Goonies, you got Kindergarten Cop, you got, of course, The Shining and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and you've got, what else, Animal House, Into the Wild. What's the best movie ever shot in the state of Oregon?
Goonies? I know Animal House is pretty popular in my house, especially with my dad. I just go with Goonies because I think that appeals to anyone out there. Like you're on a date, you watch Goonies as a good, funny movie. You've got your little kids and you want to pop in a movie. That's a good movie to show for like my kids who are 9 and 5 years old. You've got you and your wife watching the movie by yourself. You know, I think that's a good movie as well.
I'll go with that. I like Stand By Me too. Stand By Me is good. Really good.
I haven't heard of that one. I'm probably missing out, though. I've fallen off on the movies deal. I mean, I'm probably exposing just how out of touch I am.
What are you doing now?
I don't even know what that is.
What? You don't know Stand By Me?
No.
You need to go. You need to get off this call, and you need to go watch Stand By Me.
I do not know what Stand By Me is. What we're doing... I watch like the same 4 or 5 shows when we travel for work for football and basketball, and then I'll binge watch whatever new show drops on like Netflix. And so I didn't wait for my wife to watch Ozarks. And so I blew through season one, season two, and then season three came out. I was like, okay, I'll let her watch it. And so we're getting her caught up on the Ozarks. And then when we catch up on season three, we'll do the same thing with Billions, although we both have started Billions. We just didn't watch the most recent episode.
Isn't that funny how you got to watch it together? You get in trouble.
Yeah. Everything together, which is great, but slows down my viewing tempo.
I agree with you. I'm right there. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate it.
There it is. Stand By Me. Come on. Rob Reiner. Stephen King book. You know, River Phoenix. Corey Feldman. Jerry O'Connell. You got to watch Stand By Me. Leave it here. You got the bald face truth. He hasn't seen Stand By Me. I know Adriana hasn't either, so I'm not even going to ask her. Judah, have you seen Stand By Me?
That was one of the parent-mandated films that I do watch when I was a kid. So yeah. I have seen that. It was a while ago, but I have seen that. The railroad scene stuck with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And I also think... I also think that your parents did a good job there.
A lot of language, though, so I was a little surprised that they let me see it, but they were surprised that there was as much language, more than they remembered.
Yeah, well, it's that's true. That's true. I also think we'll talk about this more in the 2 o'clock or the three. Is it the 2 o'clock hour? 2 o'clock hour. It's the third hour, but it's the 2 o'clock hour. That's what threw me. We'll talk about movies. If you are somebody who has a movie that you think is the greatest movie ever filmed in the state of Oregon, you can call in at 503-417-7575. I'll give my top three of all time. Might be a surprise in there. We'll also have the 2 at 2. My wife will pop into studio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.